Devontae Williams, good blocking out in front. Big pickup on first down.
It's a handoff to Williams. He's got some room. Daylight up the middle. Jumping over a defender.
There goes Williams again. Into the secondary. Gain of 17.
Can't wait to start hearing more of that from Javonte Williams. Was the preseason loss to the San Francisco 49ers a precursor of just how much the Broncos will use him this season? I mean, he said he's 100%. He said that after the game, he felt like he was 100%. He ran the ball three times. First play of the game was a throw to him. He dropped it. He would have had some space, too. I think that's just one of those dudes where he's so eager.
Does Russ throw the ball too hard?
On that one, Javonte was definitely looking away, ready to run the ball.
It's like a smidge too hard. Like on those shorter routes, it feels like he puts all of his
maybe too hard in the short route, like the 5 yard
route last week. It was just like it was there, just a little bit off.
Yeah, maybe too hard on when they're. That's something he can work with the running back throws because they're clearly going to use the running back.
The shovel passes are like chest passes.
Yeah, he does. He had that one. Was that to Javonte too? It was like he
stepped up in the pocket and then got it out the last.
And then there was a defender right behind the running back, and it looked kind of dangerous. I know Harris was like saying how genius it was of Russ, and he did get the ball. They did advance it. They moved it down the field. But I was thinking,
I've seen that play go bad before.
Yeah. I mean, that looked scary, but maybe the shovel passes he could use a little more touch on. But I liked what they did. First play of the game, let's design something directly to Javonte Williams. Let's do a little screenplay. He dropped it. So then what did they do? They lined Javonte Williams up out wide left as a wide receiver. He runs out, does a quick little comeback route. Russ buys time, rolls left, and finds Javonte Williams. It's a completion. So they were getting him involved in a lot of different ways. He had 3 carries for 12 yards. He had 4 catches for 18 yards, but 5 targets. So it was about like there were 8 to 9 designed plays for Javonte where he was going to either be a passing option or a receiving option or run the ball. But I was so high on this guy last year. I remember saying, hey, I know all the hype is around Russ and what can new coach Nathaniel Hackett do, but this team is only going to be as good as Javonte Williams can carry them. I think the getting the rushing game going was going to take some pressure away from Russ or whatever that is, and that would have been the thing. That would have been the thing that you were like, hey, we're relying on Williams to do this. Well, obviously, he only played in 4 games last year, so you never got a real chance to see what he could do in year 2. Year 1, rookie year, 900 yards. Over under that this year, Angel, 903. We're setting the over under at 903.
I'm going to say just under because I think they're going to do more of a 2-back approach.
Yeah, well, P. Ryan.
I don't think you're going to get as much of a workload on Williams, at least maybe early on until he feels better about the knee. But I think at first it'll be a little bit more of a gradual install for him.
P. Ryan looks good, too. He runs hard. So, and who knows? Is Jaleel going to get some realistic reps in the regular season? He's earning that right now. Reminds me a little bit, not the exact same size, but Phillip Lindsay, how he earned his job, getting 2 years as a starting running back.
And I don't know if Javonte has a lot of, those big breakaway runs, but he picks up runs in chunks.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what you want to use him for more, as like a battering ram type of back. You can use P. Ryan more as a change of pace, and then Jaleel can be, a special, scat back or something.
Yeah, I really like Jaleel. I think he's becoming a fan favorite right now, too. So here's my notes. I took notes on every possession, just quick little hits, my thoughts. And I've got highlighted here the possession for Russell Wilson. That first possession started on their own 22. They ran a play action kind of screen play. Williams dropped the pass. Would have been a nice gain. It looked like he had some room in front. Russ, on second down and 10, Russ rolls to his left to buy some time, goes back to Williams, who lined up as a wide receiver, got the first down. Key play there. Williams then gets the ball again, runs the ball for no gain. Next play. So get this, Angel. Every play to start this game was to Javonte Williams. Play action, screen play. Williams dropped the pass. Next was another throw to Javonte Williams. He catches it, get the first down. Then it was a run. and it's no gain. The next play was the shovel pass you're talking about. Shovel pass, a little scary. Williams makes the catch for 4 yards. Now it's third down and six. Then Russ, the pocket opens up. He steps up into it, takes off, and runs for 20 yards on third down. Then they run it to P. Ryan. He runs for 6 yard gain. Read option, and Russ gets a really nice gain for a first down, but then there's a holding call. First wide receiver holding call on Cortland Sutton. Now it's second and 14. But neutral zone infraction on the defense, so 5 yard gain for the Broncos. It was second and 9, excuse me, so second and 5. Russ takes off again, gets another big gain short of the first down. A lot of running by Russ, a lot of scrambling. Then they need a short gain here. Hand off to their fullback, Burton. Makes a little move and then bulldozes over, gets the first down. He's a bruiser, man. Russ throws it away on first down. But I did know, okay, I wrote this. He's stepping up into the pocket nicely. He's buying time. It just looks like the pocket is forming differently than it did last year. I mean, is that how much a coach can make a difference? There's just space. Even if there's pressure, there's space to move around. And I noticed that a lot. That's one possession, but that's what I noticed there. But that, on that play, the very next play, after Russ throws it away, they had a little issue getting to the line of scrimmage. It took a little while. So they all get to the line. Russ is trying to snap it. Lloyd Cushenberry wouldn't snap it, so everybody jumped. Referee comes out and says, everybody was offsides. False start on everybody but the center. Well, when they say that, it's actually the center's fault. Because the center didn't snap it when he was supposed to. The clock was clicking down, and Cushenberry wouldn't snap the ball. So that was a funny one. Next play, second and something. Russ finds Marvin Mims. Mims juggles the ball for a little bit, but still holds on to it and gains 7. So good concentration to keep the ball, but again, maybe an example of a player trying to do too much, looking upfield. Russ goes deep to the end zone on third down to find Jerry Jeudy, but he overthrows it. Could have been defensive pass interference. There was a hand pulling Jeudy back. I think they would have called that in the regular season. They didn't. They settle for a field goal attempt of 47 yards, and Brett Maher gets the field goal. Makes it. And that's your possession. That's your day. That's your night for Russell Wilson. Are you, now just looking at this situation, knowing Russ is under the microscope, are you okay with what I just laid out there? Those are the notes from his one possession. That's kind of the body of work we're going to bring into the regular season with Russ. Because the other, you got the touchdown to Jerry Jeudy 2 weeks ago, but you thought you might want to see a little more. That's what you got. Basically, Russ running around and making some plays happen, but mainly with his feet.
Yeah, I mean, I still think there's going to be some growing pains with this offense early on until they get, you know, really settled. And your approach to it is different when you're scheming out a full game rather than just a couple of series. So, you'll try something in the second series, but you won't come back to it until, you know, late in the fourth quarter because it may have worked. So the approach is different, and I think they'll have to transition from actually game planning a few series to a full game.
Yeah, it's just on the surface, I'm comfortable with just one possession. But as I break into my own note, I mean, Angel, I got 5 pages of notes here, just possession by possession by possession.
Those aren't notes, Brady. That's a paragraph.
I wrote a book about preseason game two. My wife's like, why are you working?
You know, a few words. You're over here writing paragraphs.
My wife's like, why are you working on Saturday night? I was like,
you're
it's not
school
work
anymore. Why are you writing an essay?
But when you break this possession down, a roll left out of trouble, comeback throw to Javonte Williams. A shovel pass to Javonte Williams. And then he had the 7 yard gain by Mims, which was a juggling of the ball. Those were his 3 completions. Didn't get Cortland Sutton and him involved anymore. They tried a couple of shots with Jeudy, but those were the 3 completions of it. But what he did with his feet was the story there, was him buying time and moving around. So I'm good with Sean Payton saying, I've seen enough. But then when I look at the actual breakdown of the first possession and the only possession for Russ, it's like, okay, we're good with that, I guess. Not really working to develop anything with, there was one deep shot to Jerry Jeudy, okay. I kind of liked what we saw with Russ and Courtland Sutton. But week one, it was four possessions for Russ, one extra possession. And then week two, it was maybe one less than they were going to go. Is it alarming either way? I mean, that's my poll question today, my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Any issues with Russell Wilson just playing that one offensive series? Go vote at theholeshow.com. Seems like the majority are saying no, no issues there. And I think that's the right answer. It's you don't want to, you darn sure don't want to get him hurt. You're not going to give out all these great elaborate plans that you're going to do throughout the course of the season. But I'm good with it. And I'm good with how Sean Payton has handled this preseason so far. I think he has, he's allowed a lot of guys to come out and make plays and give us an idea of some of the young guys and what they might do. Guys that need more work. Frank Clark, we don't know what you look like really in a Broncos uniform. Randy Gregory, same kind of deal. We want looks from guys. Even if you're a projected starter, we want looks. I mean, we saw Frank Clark into the fourth quarter, which he was kind of confused about. Said you're going to have to ask the coaches about that. We saw Randy Gregory play pretty late. We saw Kareem Jackson play pretty late. Well, Kareem Jackson's kind of in a position battle with Caden Stearns. Does this mean then that Sean, like, there's the conspiracy theorists out there, Angel, that are like, really, Sean wanted to see more Jarrett Stidham. He wanted to see more of what he got from Jarrett Stidham because in the back of his mind, he wonders if Russ is going to work out. We need to get more film. We need to get more plays on tape of Jarrett Stidham. Now, I'm not going there in the slightest. I think that Russ is doing just fine with what they're asking. It's going to be a fast-moving offense. I really do. But I'm not buying into the whole, you're trying to get more, see more out of Jarrett Stidham just in case it doesn't work out with Russell Wilson. No, I'm not going there at all. I think there still is a mentality with the preseason of we just want to see some guys moving around for the guys we know about, like Russell Wilson, well, we kind of know about. We don't need to see a whole lot in the preseason because we're not going to throw a lot at them anyway. Do we need to prove that Russell Wilson can run? You know he can. You're seeing him do it in training camp. You saw him do it in training camp. Do you need to prove that, you know, Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy can catch a lot of passes? Probably not. We know they're top heavy there. I mean, they're not. I don't think either one of them would agree with you that they're satisfied with where their career has taken them at this point, but they're still solid options. But what you want to see is how does a young Jaleel McLaughlin handle things? How does a guy that maybe is not on the depth chart right now, how does he handle his spot? Can he earn a spot there? He might have. Tony Jones, though. Maybe he's fighting with him. Tony Jones looked good. He had some nice runs. How does the tight end position look like? See, that's what the focus was for the Broncos. It wasn't this, we need to get a lot out of Russell Wilson. So I thought he handled it extremely well. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Heard the new thing is if you, Dixon saying, heard the new thing is if you practice against a team for a couple of days before the game, that you don't play your starters so much in the game against them later that week. Yeah, I don't expect the starters to do a whole lot. I heard Aaron Donald's not going to be making the trip for the joint practices, and he's got a kid on the way.
Yeah, you'll see that with joint practices. You know, you'll get two good days with your starters out there, and okay, maybe we need to see a series, or maybe we just need to, oh, we're good. I saw enough. We have enough on film that we can learn from it. We don't need to see you in a game.
So do you think the Broncos will go with any start? Like, will Russ play Saturday?
I could see it, again, just another series, depending on how they feel about joint practices. It is the first home preseason game, so if you just want to go out there for the home crowd, sure.
I don't know. Dixon said, I heard that Payton is more about the number of plays than what quarter it is, so a guy like Clark, who will be in a rotation, may have played in the fourth, but he only played like 20 plays. I have no issues, even with Frank Clark there, with how Sean has ran the preseason. I mean, again, if this were the regular season, we'd be on the show today talking about end-of-game situations. you know, you got to hold on to the ball a little longer, take off some time, make them use their timeouts, and then defense has got to buck up. But I just can't really analyze that because I think that I'm not going to tell these guys to not run a kick return for 80 yards and get you into the red zone, and then one play later you're inside the nine, and then you score the next play. I mean, this is the preseason. You want to see guys fighting for touchdowns regardless of what the timing situation is the game. If that were regular season, we'd be freaking out a little bit.
I think it's good to be cautious and to try not to compare this preseason to last preseason, because I think it's hard to say, yeah, Sean's doing everything different, so it's going to equal a different outcome, when the outcome of the season affected how you looked at the preseason. The 5-11 season, and you look at the preseason, oh, they didn't do anything. Now they're doing stuff, and you'd expect that to be a different outcome, but it's different team, different coach, and different stuff. Broncos were 2-1 in preseason last year.
Yeah.
Without their starter. So
what does it matter?
Right.
Well, and yeah, that's an interesting question. If Russell Wilson had, quote unquote, cooked last year, well, then Nathaniel Hackett would have never been fired and we wouldn't have. But let's just, for the sake of argument, say the Broncos' record was bad, but somehow Russ was still really good. Everything else just sucked. Would Sean Payton have played Russell Wilson at all in the preseason?
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
I don't know.
I mean, for a few series, like two series just to go.
Yeah, he played five series so far in two games. And that might be it, because I agree with the joint practice thing. You might not play Russ at all.
And really, some of it's just, I want to be back on a field. I need to visualize the game speed. I need to feel actual pressure coming at me. Okay, I'm good. I'll just chill out for 2 weeks and get ready.
Yeah, I just... Who knows? Would he have handled things differently? Would Javonte Williams have had the first, what, four or five looks of a preseason game if he hadn't got hurt last year? How much of that was Sean Payton saying, no, he says he's good, doctors say he's good, we need him to feel a tackle. We need
Even Payton said, you know, I want him, you know, four runs and a catch or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, and he had two of them, two catches. So I've been impressed. I got to tell you this, man. This whole Sean Payton thing with the bucket hats and the anonymous donors, now that we're done with that stuff, just actually watching how he's laying out his preseason. And again, we were burnt so damn bad from last year. The preseason was handled poorly, and then we learned how poorly it was handled by seeing everybody not ready in the regular season. So I'm cautious. I'm looking at this preseason going, I want to see some care taken toward these preseason games. I do not want to just crumple them up and throw them in the trash and say they don't mean anything. Wins and losses don't mean anything, but I want to see how some of these players perform in a game setting. So my hat's off to Payton. Yes, I would have liked things to go differently and win. I don't care if they win. I really don't. In the moment when you're watching and it's 3rd and 13, the Broncos, all they need to do is make a stop against San Francisco and then the game's over. Sure, I'm rooting a little harder for a win or a loss. But last night, I'm sitting down watching, just charting out the possessions, just to see what this thing looks like. How about Trey Lance on the other side, Angel? 12 of 18, 173 yards, did throw a pick on a screenplay. It was tipped, to be fair. But he had a touchdown, did lead the game-winning drive. How are fans feeling about Trey Lance? He got a pretty big ovation when he came into the game. Sam Darnold was 11 of 14 for 109 yards, and he had a touchdown, also an interception. Do you think that Trey Lance is going to rise above this? Brock Purdy got the one possession and led his team to a field goal. Is that Brock Purdy thing going to last? Is he the guy for San Francisco? Because Trey Lance has got two guys to pass up.
I think he is. I don't know how you can go through all of last year and then say, nah, we're going to try Trey this year.
No, I agree.
You have something in Brock Purdy. Whether he's Mr. Irrelevant or the first overall pick, he's talented and he can be an NFL starter. It's just, it's that you traded so much to jump up to number three to get Trey Lance, a guy that would probably have been there at 20 or wherever they were.
Yeah. And especially with the way San Francisco has won football games over the last few years, you don't need a high draft quarterback.
Sure, they'd love Trey to start and have his talent on the field, but if Brock Purdy can do just as good without getting himself hurt, all right.
And we've got our other stars that can shine. We've got Debo, we've got Christian, we've got these other guys that we can make
that
the highlight.
Just needs a facilitator. You don't need a Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes to be efficient in that offense.
It's bucking the trend of everything we know as an NFL fan.
It's just Tom Brady all over again. He's not Tom Brady, but it's a similar thing. Just get an effective quarterback that's smart and can run the offense.
Yeah, if you can grow into that. San Francisco's just so good at everything else. They're just so good. What's the Bosa situation look like, too, with San Fran? Not Joey. Yeah. What's going on with that?
I don't know.
I think Niners fans are a little worried about that. 26 minutes after the hour, Colorado Buffalo story. Sean Keeler putting together a story in the Denver Post, talking to a former Buff, and his thoughts. He gave some of his thoughts on how he views CU Buffs fans. Let's talk about that a little bit next. 26 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of your air conditioning needs. We're not out of the woods yet, folks. We got hot days coming up. Today is... looks hot out there. It's supposed to be really hot. Tomorrow's going to be warm. Wednesday's going to be warm, I think. Thursday, cool off a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Maybe 70.
A little bit of a cool off. We need it, man. I'm tired of it. Maybe that AC, it was on its last leg and you thought you could limp it along, but the last month has shown you that you can't. Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of you. Free estimates are available. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Our boy from the Denver Post, Sean Keeler, sat down with Cody Hawkins. He was a quarterback. His dad, of course, Dan Hawkins. He was under him, so they had that Hawkins thing going there when he played. This was an interesting story. He started off this article with Cody saying this. First of all, I know everyone was hacked off with Deion Sanders said, "Hey guys, this is your quarterback." But he said, I didn't have a problem with that. Didn't get it because Shador is a good quarterback. And if you're the dad, great, but you still got to acknowledge that he's a good quarterback. So I thought that was interesting that he was kind of going to the defense of Shador. He's like, dude, from what I've seen, I know that this guy can be a good player. It just happens to be that, yeah, his dad is the head coach and he came over to Boulder because of him. He also went on to talk about the fans. He said, I would tell Sanders this. CU fans are the best fans in the world and the worst fans in the world. Just because there are people who are in and around the program who are super supportive of the program, but there are people who are not from the Rocky Mountains. There are fair weather fans from California. There are going to be Buffs fans, but they're not really Buffs fans. Well, boy, isn't that even more true today than it was before primetime got there?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the difference between Buffs fans and Prime fans, but even before Prime got there, there was already a schism between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the idea that this is a divided fan base, is Cody speaking to that? Cody's, you know, no stranger to what this fan base was about. He got to see how his dad was treated and how that situation unfolded. And now he's a head coach, first-year coach at Idaho State. So he's getting to see all this stuff and how different it might have been from what he experienced at CU. I mean, he appeared in 55 games at CU from 07 to 2010. And, of course, a lot of people went at him and the Hawkins thing because of how that was handled, talking about the nepotism and all that stuff. Well, you got a very similar situation now going on with Primetime and Shador.
Yeah, interesting situation between the dynamic between those two, and hearing stuff like, you know, of course he's going to start Shador, you know, he's his son and all that. Yeah, he's the best player on the team. Yeah, he is. All that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is in the quarterback room that could challenge him?
I don't even know.
You have three freshmen.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything.
And then the only other quarterback in there is junior Gavin Cold. You want to know where he played last year?
Sacramento State.
Northeast Oklahoma A&M.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Shador's a great quarterback, but there's not really any competition pushing him. Because why would Sanders bring in competition for him?
Big mistake by Sanders then, right? Because we would say that with anybody else.
Yeah, you could have brought a three-star in, it would look better than that.
Or
not
the guy
three
that,
freshmen and a kid from some Division II school.
Or that guy that's that transferred out to go wherever that was tweeting. The guy that tweeted last week that was mad that he didn't clear waivers or whatever.
Yeah,
I think Shador's going to be fun to watch. I really do. But
yeah, I don't doubt his talent.
This is the line you walk when you do this, when you take over as a head coach and you bring your son over here. When Ed McCaffrey brought Dylan McCaffrey over here, he immediately invited more controversy before anybody took their first steps onto a football field.
It was a foregone conclusion that Dylan was going to start.
Yeah.
We knew that.
It was going to happen. No doubt about it.
And they didn't, you know, there wasn't really a, from Jacob Nipp to Dylan McCaffrey, there wasn't really a guy that was going to step up and take that. Because, you know, Jacob Sermon wasn't here yet. So, yeah, of course it's going to be Dylan. But he didn't bring in anybody.
Well, it was Connor. Was it Connor Martin was the other guy?
I think Connor left.
Mm-hmm. And that was... Well, Connor was with him the first year. The first full year. Because we did a NIL thing. Tanner did something with him. But I know that was a source of frustration there amongst Martin fans. Because that name's a fairly big name.
Right.
And it was just... It was just a bad situation, and then it didn't work out. You know, if Dylan would have came in and was on fire and was great, then it would have been like, was there nepotism? I don't know. He's a good quarterback. He would have been the starting quarterback under Ernest Collins Jr.
But then when you saw flashes of Jake Sermon, you're like, whoa.
Yep. Well, you especially know, you especially were bothered by this. I think that's when you kind of started to see the writing on the wall with Ed was during that, because you went and didn't you go to the Wyoming game?
Yeah. Because Dylan got hurt in the first game, and Jacob came in for a few series in that second half.
You said it just felt different when he was in.
It felt different. He looked more calm. The offense looked more efficient. It just ran smoother. And then I thought going into that Wyoming game that they would make a switch at quarterback. Obviously, that didn't happen. So, and I was the rest of the season, I was just kind of waiting for Jacob Sermon to get a shot, and we'll see what happens with him. But it does create that controversy there.
Well, and I think the only time, did Jacob start one game? And didn't Dylan get hurt in something?
He may
They were so secretive about that. Every time Dylan would get hurt, you wouldn't know anything.
No,
you never knew anything about that. So, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go with primetime, but it is, if Shador's not good and then continues to play, well, then primetime can protect himself by saying, we got nobody that's better than him. But that's his own kind of... Your own kind of
kicked
fault.
Out the ones that were here, and you didn't bring anyone close to competing with Shador.
I just don't know if primetime. I mean, that guy can handle controversy. That guy can handle scrutiny and people not liking him.
Can he?
Well, I think there were. He was a Cowboy, so if you weren't a Cowboys fan, you weren't a fan.
But he did just go off on a reporter for some alleged controversy that doesn't exist.
And I didn't like that. I didn't think that was good. You know, but I hope it works out, but there are red flags with this whole thing. And it just depends on the Buffs fan that you ask.
Can't say that.
Can't say red flags?
Can't say
Oh, we can't
Buffs.
Say red.
That too. But there's no red flags there. It's all perfect.
They can't have red flags. They can just have flags. No red ones. Because there's no red there on campus, Angel. The Nebraska thing, right?
What if red's just my color?
Better get a new one.
Just go to a different school.
I'm bringing Louis, so enter that portal.
You have your Louis. I'm good with my Walmart brand shirt.
There's just so many interesting storylines around the football world. And the most, and I'm saying this in the nicest way possible, the most uninteresting storyline is the UNC Bears. And that is a good thing. Because last year and the year before that, it was like the most interesting storyline. And this isn't a knock on Ed Lamb. This is, he's not coming in bringing Louie and I'm a ring of famer for the Broncos. I'm a freaking hardworking football guy.
Yeah, he's bringing Jimmy and Chuck and Charlie from, you know, Colorado school.
Yeah. I'm a hardworking football guy. I ride horses with my family every week.
A I plant asparagus in the place I'm going to live.
Because I know I'm going to be there. He goes golfing with Tanner Schwint. How down
of
to earth?
People.
How down to earth can you be if you committed to go golfing with Tanner Schwint?
Literally the cowman.
Yeah, the cow. They talked ag, and I love this guy. So, but it's not like people ask me when I was at CSU Media Days. They're like, "How's UNC going to be?" I'm like, "I don't really know, but I know that they're going about things in more of a toned down football way, in a way that they should be recruiting and working with local high school football coaches to build a program." But I'm telling you, man, it's the least interesting story of the five football. Is it five? Six?
It fluctuates.
Broncos, Cowboys, Falcons, Rams, Buffs, Bears. Six.
I got a wacky story for you.
Okay.
About a former Bronco.
Yeah, I want to. Oh yeah, I want to hear this.
Former Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow.
Uh-oh, what'd he do?
He is claiming, or this is from.
Please
the
don't shatter my universe right
the
now.
New York Post, that Florida teammates used to chase him around with photos of naked women to test his virginity claims.
Why would that test it? If he looked, he was off.
I guess. Well, he's like super Christian.
Well,
Tim
yeah,
Tebow.
He's probably like, I'm not looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
But how would that prove anything? That would just prove that he's trying to do the right thing and not look at the pictures.
Well, unless he
doesn't.
Yeah,
if he doesn't look, does that still prove that he's a virgin?
I don't know. I think this speaks more to the culture of
weird
Florida football in 2007.
Dude, what a weird. That didn't you say there's a special coming up on
ESPN?
Yeah,
Netflix is tomorrow. They're dropping a 4-part documentary called Swamp Kings, that is chronicling all of Aaron Hernandez, Riley Cooper, Urban Meyer, Cam Newton a little bit, Tim Tebow, all that 2007-2008 Florida Gators team.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. Let me say this about Tebow. Let me just say this: it was his fans that annoyed me the most. Just his fans. I didn't think it was going to work out because the arm wasn't there. I mean, you get people that throw stuff shade your way about Tua, which I think is unwarranted because he has an arm. Tebow could throw a 50-yard, like a 40-yard pass, and you'd be like, holy crap. And then the next four plays would skip into the dirt like he was skipping rocks across the pond.
A left-handed quarterback looks weird.
Mm-hmm.
Tebow made it look difficult.
He had a very slow release. He was very big. His arms were huge.
He's still just a massive
human. He is, and he's an amazing human being. I follow him on social media, and his speeches that he gives are amazing. He's fighting the good fights, and I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. But it was just his fan base that drove me absolutely nuts. Because just as a straight-up football fan, I was like, this ain't going to work, man.
I mean, I wasn't even watching NFL at that time.
Oh, so fun.
The Tebowing and all that got me sucked into it.
Yeah, it was annoying to me, but now looking back, some of the things that annoyed me maybe shouldn't have been as annoying, but it was the fan base.
It was that 8-game win streak that just made it all feel good.
Well, but it was like there were so many crazy things that happened to win those games, too. And it was Tebow would be awful for 88% of the game, and then that 12%, boom. And the fans would get on social media, and they're just like, Tebow did it again. And their defense. I remember talking to Mitch Unrein that year. Former Eaton Red, Wyoming Cowboy, caught a touchdown pass from Peyton Manning as a D-tackle. He's telling me, he's like, yeah, we're all sitting around in the locker room just utterly exhausted because the defense had to hold this team to 15 points. Otherwise, we're losing. Just absolutely dripping. And we couldn't, the media didn't say one thing to us. It was all about Tebow. Yeah. 43 minutes after the hour. We got to get the bottom of the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Almost. We're almost back in the saddle when it comes to football. We have actual college football on the tube this weekend. We have high school football. Is it set yet? We had the player vote or the fan vote going off, Angel?
Take another 15 minutes.
So we think it's going to be Windsor and Meade, first game of the season?
I think they're leading on the Twitter poll last I checked. Go get it there, the 1310.com website. or Facebook.
Facebook, Twitter, follow KFKA, Preps Radio, whatever. We'll reach.
We're letting you pick, guys.
Yeah, you go pick the game.
Don't get mad at us on Friday when we're not at the game you want to be at because you didn't pick us.
Yeah, you got to get on and vote. Go vote. If you want to count in this thing and you want your team to be on more often than not, then go vote.
And then tell me what teams you want me to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Because I'll be previewing a lot of high school football every Friday night, so let me know. What's a team you want me to keep my eye on?
Tanner said Meade and Windsor won by one vote.
Wow.
One vote. So it's closed? He closed it?
Wow. That was a good game last year between those two schools.
Did we start that? I think that we started
week
that one last
35-34 was the final back-and-forth game.
Let's get a good one.
I'm excited for Windsor this
Friday
year.
Night, I'm going to be sitting down at home and be listening to football night in Northern Colorado, probably on my way home. I'll be home before that. It's 5 o'clock. But I'll be listening. I'll be sitting on my couch, a couple of cold ones that I just bought from On the Rocks Liquor, and then bringing in the game of the week on Friday night. I mean, dude, it's going to be good.
Here we go. Right.
Cannot wait. And then this weekend, you got Navy and Notre Dame.
From Dublin. That's going to be fun.
Navy cover?
Is that spread changed on there?
Minus 20 and a half.
Oh, wow. I'd still probably take Navy on that.
Oh,
maybe
I saw
the cover, not
Harbs is out for 3 games.
Yes, there was a bit of weird stuff going on with Jim Harbaugh, but he is doing a self-imposed 3-game suspension.
Just in time to not be ready for conference games.
Sure.
Or to be ready in time for conference games. Oh, boy. Zach's just texted me. He's like, can I go now? We're going to get him on tomorrow. We're too tight. It's too tight in the clock.
I'm trying to get Zach for like 2 weeks. It's training camp. Mister,
he's growing his brand is what he's doing. He's growing that brand. So making time for us, you know, the kings of the north, as we call ourselves, as we're known around the station.
That legit? Like,
yeah.
We get swords and
yeah.
The king of the north.
We're the king of the north. We're the North. We're like
the North.
What are they? What is it? Winterfell? We're Winterfell. And down there in Denver, they're King's Landing.
Ooh, oh, that's a perfect. Yeah.
That's it. We take things a little bit differently up here. And we deal with the cold. It's about the same, I guess. They deal with it. But it feels like
we got the mountain slope, downwinds and stuff.
We feel like we're, you know, tougher.
We're more rugged.
Yeah.
We got some wildlings out here in NoCo.
Well, our morning show host is like a cow guy.
Yeah.
That's us. That's tough. We're tough, man. We got dude. I just got news. Brian Gary from Tanner Schwinn. Great news from Brian Gary. Let me make sure I get this news up. We'll take our break. One last update on Brian Gary, and then he can take it from here because he's headed home this afternoon. So our boy Brian is on the mend. I went and saw him on Friday, and he's still kind of his wily self, man. I'm ready to get him back in the studio for sure. 49 minutes after the hour, what do we learn? Coming up next on The Whole Show, powered by Chevron, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
No more gimmicks, no more jokes, just the games. Broncos games are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
I learned two things. Here on the show, I learned that I am very optimistic right now about Sean Payton and the way he has handled the preseason. I have my other stuff about him that's bothered me, but you know what? Based on just football and the way he's taken the preseason seriously, I can dig it. I dig at this news. September 11th, that's a Monday, from 5 to 7, they're going to be doing a CU versus CSU Fan Fest at Shields. And we're going to be live and on location out there. Tanner, I think it'll be a Brady and Friend type show. Tanner will be out there. I think it'll be a lot of fun. You what?
Are you guys like fight officials out there?
Or? Yeah, I think so. I think Tanner will be on the CU side and I'll be on the CSU side.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
No, I don't think you. The mascot's going to be out there, though. The band's going to be out there. A bunch of people are going to be out there.
I see Cam and Chip throw down a little bit.
I'm going to buy.
Is that the mascot's name? Cam?
Yes.
Okay.
and then Chip, and then Ralphie.
I think Ralphie into Shields.
That would be... they might bring Ralphie into Shields, but, in, you know, to hang him up on one of those displays at the top, or all, hang her up, I should say. So what'd you learn today, Angel?
I learned that Coach Ed Lamb is confident and ready for his team to hit the field, and just 10 days from now, the Ed Lamb era gets going, and I'm pumped. I feel there's a sense of just togetherness and calmness about this team. They're not worried about the expectations or whatever. It's just they want to win. They're going to fight to win, and I expect them to compete in every game.
I'm going to get Blake on the show next week. Tell us about Abilene Christian. I want to learn about them because I want to predict the Bears to win, but I should know five things about Abilene Christian. That's what I would like to know. Five things.
That's a Wildcat.
That's now four more. Four more things.
They
it's hot
Abilene,
there.
Abilene, Texas.
And it's hot there.
They built a new stadium.
Oh, it's a new stadium, but it's not a dome.
No.
So it will be still hot. Very, very muggy there. Yikes. Okay. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Do not forget, the very first edition of the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, will be at noon tomorrow. The stroke of noon for you guys, for you Rams fans. So we'll be excited to get Clay back on the program. A lot of football stuff in the very near future. Good night, Northern Colorado.